Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents On These Wicked Shores by Catherine Quinn. Narrated by James Cavanaugh and Gillian Yetter. Prologue. Darius. Darius had worn many faces over the centuries of his long, long existence. And he'd gone by twice as many names. Yet as he hovered over a sleeping Margaret and her Azantian king, he found himself wishing his true name would slip past her lips, for once free of derision or scorn. He'd forgotten what it was like to feel. It was both a blessing and a curse that Margaret Wood helped remind him. For months he'd infiltrated her dreams, sneaking through the cracks of a fragile reality. Like seeds, he planted thoughts, watering them until they grew. Oftentimes, they served his purposes to make Margaret yearn for the power she refused to express. He'd witnessed her struggle over the long weeks. She couldn't tame his brother's magic and had no idea she was to blame for her own failure, because she didn't remember what she once had been to him. But that had been another life, Darius supposed, and he couldn't fault her for her ignorance. He only recently allowed himself to get close enough to glimpse the familiar soul shining beneath. At first, he'd foolishly believed her to be some unassuming human, lucky enough to have been in the right place at the right time, gifted with the powers of a god. How very wrong he'd been. Darius saw the truth now, and it blinded him. If only she would remember me. But she didn't, and she wouldn't, unless he forced his hand. So every night he opened his soul, his own magic seeping into her veins, giving her just a taste. Eventually, she wouldn't be able to hinder herself and hide from who she was, and then she'd take her place beside him. All would be right again. When dawn chased away the night, Darius would melt into the shadows he commanded. But he never truly left her. Not when this woman was the key to his salvation. Margaret Wood carried Malum's heart, his brother's divine essence. The final boost of power he needed to reign as the sole ruler of the boundless waters. That, and she'd inadvertently stolen something else, something far more precious than his brother's magic. But that would all come to light later. He'd make sure he revealed his cards at just the right time. Of course, Malum's final act, done just before Darius ended him once and for all, had been to place a symbol of protection upon Margaret's skin, a roiling wave grazing her collarbone. That damned mark made it impossible for Darius to steal her newfound power, but more importantly, it denied him complete access to her mind. Sure, he could slip inside for moments at a time, but he couldn't stay long. And Darius was never fond of being a bystander in a game of his own making. He decided he'd create a new game, one with rules he could control. Darius was resourceful and notorious for bending the rules, and something told him Margaret would be a challenge he wouldn't soon forget. If she was who he knew her to be, then he would expect nothing less. A smile blossomed as he watched Margaret's eyes flutter in her sleep. Soon their fates would be irrevocably tied together, and he would finally, no longer be alone. The thought made a foreign warmth settle in his chest. The sensation was a nice one. Below his towering shadow, Margaret hooked an arm around the Azantian king's bare waist, her pert nose nuzzling his hair, so at ease, so sickeningly happy. The unconscious act of tenderness made him clench his fists. The love Margaret possessed for her king vexed him to no end. and when Darius thought too long of it, his vision became painted in red. That should be me. During these long months, he longed to reach out and feel the softness of her skin. He'd held back during his nightly visits, afraid of reliving the overwhelming emotion that had assaulted him the last time he touched her. But he grew tired of his role as a silent observer. Against his will, Darius remained at her bedside until dawn beckoned. She appeared so frail in her mortal body, weak and easily broken. Still, he felt her spirit, her soul, and it sang to him until the early morning hours. With a frustrated growl, Darius turned to leave, knowing there was much work to be done to fix a mistake committed 1,000 years past. But his feet abruptly stilled, as though an invisible cord snapped and grew taut. That cord pulled him back to the bed, and this time, when he reached out, he didn't stop himself. He couldn't. Darius trailed a lone finger down her cheek, the skin just as soft as he recalled. Better, even. She felt like summer itself, warm and light and full of hope. His heart pulsed erratically, and in that captured moment in time, memories he hadn't allowed himself to hold on to rushed back to him. He smiled. Maybe he could write the past and change his future. Maybe he could have it all.
Chapter 1. Margaret. Margaret Wood bolted upright in bed. Someone had been here, watching her, touching her. For months she'd felt eyes upon her, even in her sleep. But this time, when she woke with a gasp, her cheek prickled, as if the graze of phantom hands lingered. She brought her finger to touch the tingling skin as she glanced at her king. Thank the gods, he still slept. He'd been restless as of late, and she'd sensed a great change fall upon him like a poisonous shroud. Then again, they'd all changed since that fateful day her father attacked. Margaret shifted to brush the strands of hair from Bash's brow when something crinkled in her lap. She went still. A brittle black leaf, outlined in crimson, lay on her thigh. Frowning, she picked it up and spun it around, admiring the intricate black swirls that were reminiscent of waves. She'd never seen anything like it on Azantian, or the mainland for that matter, and she was well-versed on the subject of botany. Just as she brought it closer, wanting to inspect its elaborate details, a powerful gust of wind from the balcony stole it from her fingers. The leaf fluttered in mid-air, as if not wishing to leave, right before the breeze swept it up and away. Instinctively, she reached out, driven by an inexplicable need to catch it. A wave of ice shattered against her mind. Margaret gasped, and the smell of salt clogged her senses. Where she'd touched the leaf, her skin prickled. But she didn't have the strength to focus on that. She mostly felt a sweeping surge of crushing power flooding her veins. Her back bowed violently, and she fell against the pillows. The coldness in her hands stretched to her neck, where it wrapped around her throat like a noose. Her lips parted, a pathetic puff of air escaping. It was happening again. Another vision. Another nightmare come calling. She fisted the sheets as her loose grip on reality was wrenched away. Slowly, painfully so, she sank further into the velvet darkness of her mind, dragged to an endless void that housed only horrors. Delicate wisps of black shadows swirled behind her eyes, and flashes of silver sparked like enraged lightning. It was unnatural, the light, the tendrils of ashen fog rolling through the obscurity like long, spindly fingers. A breeze reeking of decay and rot swept through the abyss, the scent pungent and bitter. It blew across the expanse of nothingness until it revealed a grand ship she knew all too well, the Phaedra. Steel clouds curled about the vessel, and ghoulish silhouettes rose like withering blooms from the waves. Higher and higher these wraiths ascended, until they arced and plummeted to the wooden decks, descending across the ship in a single falling wave. Margaret blinked, willing away the creatures, the demons. Their shrill screams pierced the foul air and rattled her bones, leaving her ears ringing. Evil. Whatever they were, they reeked of malicious intent. Abruptly, the scene shifted, and the night sky quivered forcefully. In place of the mighty Phaedra, only wasted sails and splintered wood remained. A sliver of wary moon cast the world in an unearthly white glow, and the charcoal waters cradled the ruins of a devastating shipwreck. The Phaedra was gone. In this distorted hallucination, Margaret heard Bash's name, nothing but a whisper at first. It became a song sung by a chorus of sinister voices that twisted it into something devious and wicked. His name was a haunting chant, as the haze cleared and an obscure island took shape in the distance, well beyond the wreckage of the ship. She squinted, but the image never settled, and all she managed to see was a single figure standing on its shores. She choked back a scream as the figure blurred and erupted into a fine misting of gray dust. He might have vanished, but Margaret knew who it was, who had stood on those shores. But rather than fear, she felt warmth. It was a harsh metallic scent in the air that shook her from her daze. The edges of reality slowly sharpened at the corners, and the sea glass walls of their chambers wavered back into focus. She lowered her eyes to the source of the smell, her heart racing. Blood blossomed on her palm from where her nails dug into the flesh. Four curved lines of crimson, a reminder of the horror she'd witnessed. This had been the fifth hallucination, or whatever one could call them, since her father attacked a Xantian months ago. Since Darius slayed his brother and vanished into seafoam. And she'd been left to pick up the shattered pieces. Although brief, what Margaret saw during these episodes, these cryptic glimpses, left her reeling. Sometimes she saw the outline of a shadowy couple, their limbs entwined in a fervent embrace, black trees rising up all around them. Their faces were obscured, but something about them held a trace of familiarity. Other times, like tonight, death greeted her with open arms. Just as she had every other time these visions plagued her, Margaret sought the safety of the man nestled at her side. Bash, the king of Azantian, looked rather angelic when he slept, though she would never admit that to his face. Bash was many things, but self-conscious, he was not. Now that he was unconscious, she freely admired him without his cocky grin making an appearance. A grin she very much loved. Bash's tattooed chest rose and fell rhythmically, his well-defined body sculpted by the gods themselves. He wore a linen shirt, though the buttons were undone, and her eyes trailed lower still, following the fine dusting of dark hair that crept below the blankets. Heat warmed her cheeks. Even though she'd explored and tasted every inch of him, he still managed to wring such a heated reaction from her. She let out a sigh. At least she hadn't woken him. Over the last 3 months, she'd done her best to ignore her fleeting visions and pretend she didn't feel the impending sense of doom hovering on the horizon. A week after the attack, Bash had caught her in the throes of a vision, but she claimed exhaustion, a cowardly excuse. Margaret recognized the doubt that stretched across his face at her poor explanation. the quiet alarm that rolled off him in waves as her lips spun sweet lies. She hid things from Bash because she didn't want to worry him. Not until she understood the extent of her new powers. Besides, she wasn't ready to ruin the happiness they'd found. She deserved to be a little selfish, right? At her side, the king twitched, his eyes fluttering in his sleep, as if outrunning his own monsters. This was one of the rare nights he slept, and when he did, he was difficult to wake. Tenderly, Margaret smoothed the strands of deep russet hair curling around his temple, her thumb working to alleviate the tense worry lines marring his forehead. Only when his brows unfurled did Margaret slip out of bed, the mattress dipping beneath her weight. Bash grumbled but didn't wake, although he reached out as if to pull her back to where she belonged. While she longed for nothing more than to stay enfolded in his arms, hidden away in their own secret place in the world, the sea, as it so often did, called to her from beyond, demanding an audience. Margaret padded to the open balcony doors, dancing her fingers over the fine wooden furniture covered in mystical designs of sea monsters and chimeras and stunning beasts she once believed were myths. Oh, how wrong she had been. Outside, wearing nothing but a thin slip of pearly lace, Margaret fixated upon the rising sun, waking the untamed sea below. Since the day Malum's essence wakened, Margaret wasn't alone. Like a humming beneath her bones, she sensed the abundant life of the sea, each wave a song only she could hear. If only she could hear the damned beasts that escaped. For weeks, they'd heard nothing. No attacks, no sightings. The crushing silence was unnerving. "Hello, old friend," she murmured to the waves. A playful wind gathered the long strands of her dark hair and brushed it out of her face. The breeze wound around her torso and picked at the hem of her nightdress, cooling her sweat-soaked skin. "Thank you," she answered back, and her lips curled into a soft smile. The magic inside of her thrummed, a heat coiling about her heart and gently squeezing. It was a reverent touch, a caress of power. Almost as if Malum's essence desired to show its affection. If magic could show affection. Her fingers drifted to her collarbone, absent-mindedly tracing her little wave. The tattoo appeared the morning after the attack, without any explanation. Though sometimes she'd catch herself stroking the wave, as if it were a pet to be soothed. Margaret suspected Malum had his hand in its creation, even if the god no longer roamed the waters. Still, his heart did, lost somewhere in the depths after the iron mast went down. Margaret hadn't sensed its presence, though she certainly tried. Day after day, she reached out and sought the empty vessel of the god. Nothing. Shutting her eyes, she took in a deep inhale. A storm would arrive at these shores in 2 days' time. The smell of salt and raging passion, reminding her of the scent of a potent jasmine bloom. Margaret couldn't explain her new sense of intuition, but there was so much she had yet to learn. "There you are." Two muscled and tanned arms wound around her waist, tugging her against a solid chest. Immediately, her body relaxed, and she melted into the embrace. "That's the longest you've slept in," she said with a grin, her attention on the waters. Bash rubbed his scruffy chin against the back of her neck, tickling the sensitive flesh. She shuddered, inhaling his salt and sandalwood scent.
"Maybe because someone was tossing and turning all night. I've never been kicked so many times."
She opened her mouth to protest, but he cut her off.
"Although,"
he began, a lilt in his voice,
Your form is improving. You managed to kick me off the bed entirely at one point. Margaret rolled her eyes. So very funny, Sebastian, she mocked, twisting to face him. She craned her neck to meet his gaze. Bash stood well over 6.5 feet, and compared to her 5-foot stature, he was a giant. He let out a strained groan. You know I hate that name. Margaret smiled from ear to ear, wickedly delighted. Adrian let Bash's full name slip one night after dinner when they'd had too much wine. Apparently, his mother had named him, and after her death, Bash's father refused to call him by anything other than his nickname. Bash often said Sebastian was too grand of a name for him, claiming it sounded pompous and arrogant. So, of course, Margaret used it to tease him whenever the opportunity presented itself. Listen here, princess, Bash began, placing both hands on either side of her on the railing, thoroughly caging her in. His warm breath fanned across her mouth. Must I remind you what happened the last time you called me that? He quirked a brow. Oh, she remembered all too well. Instantly, a blush rose to her cheeks. They'd broken his desk, and when guards rushed inside their chambers at the sound of the crash, they certainly got more than an eyeful of their king's backside. Well, Sebastian seems too proper for you anyway, she said smoothly, wiping off invisible lint from his shoulder. The blush remained on her cheeks. It would make you sound like some stuck-up lord who can't dress himself without assistance. The spark in his eyes returned. Well, we both know I sometimes require assistance removing clothing. Bash shot her a playful wink, and she lightly smacked his chest. He feigned a groan of hurt. Damn, woman, you really are getting stronger. His tone held a measure of genuine awe, and she smiled. In fairness, she'd been training with Adrian, Bash's commander and Bay's boyfriend, every day for months. She had a long way to go, but sheer determination ruled her. Even Bertie, her little sister, joined their combat sessions. The 8-year-old was a natural, according to Adrian, and quite adept with the bow. Aside from combat lessons, Adrian, and sometimes Bay, taught her how to swim, should she not have her newly blossoming powers to aid her. Seeing as she intended to stay on Azantian, the skill seemed abundantly necessary. Are you intimidated by me, pirate? Margaret asked, trailing a finger up and down Bash's right arm. His starfish tattoo shot out from beneath his sleeve, curling around the tip of her finger. Out of the many moving and living creatures that inked his golden skin, the starfish was by far her favorite. Bash groaned, the rich sound of it causing her stomach to flutter. Quite the opposite. He leaned down to run his tongue across the seam of her lips, tasting her as he took his time exploring. Her mouth parted as a soft pant escaped her. Watching you become a fearsome warrior has me feeling anything but intimidated. So how does it make you feel? She asked in a breathless whisper. Bash placed a tender kiss on the tip of her nose before pressing himself even closer. His growing hardness pushed into her belly, and her lids shuddered. Bash's chest rumbled as he let out a low chuckle. I do love a woman who can knock me on my ass. He grasped her hip, his fingers digging into her silky gown. Don't tempt me, she warned, struggling to speak. I'm more than happy to make that dream of yours come true. Promises, promises. He hissed against her lips. Whatever will I do with you? His midnight eyes sparkled with mischief and longing. Eyes that had once been the color of emerald, before Margaret brought him back to life. The day when the sea tried to lay claim to his soul.
I have a few ideas, she said, shrugging. But I'm not sure you're up to the task. Last night, he'd passed out from exhaustion before she could get her hands on him. Her need for him had grown insatiable. You wound me, Bash said, pulling back enough to bring his hand to his heart in mock affront. She grabbed his hips and yanked him back. Good. I wouldn't want your ego to swell any more than it already has. You wouldn't be able to get through the door. Bash arched a brow.
Are you sure we aren't talking about you?
Egotistical and delusional? She shook her head. And people think you're threatening. She snickered, fisting his unbuttoned shirt. His gaze fell to where she held him, and his eyes gleamed with molten desire.
I am threatening, Princess. It's not my fault you don't see it for yourself.
Like I said, delusional. Absolutely delusional. Margaret beamed up at the man who'd stolen her heart, a king whose unwavering faith in her lifted the weight of the unknown. Raising her hand, she brushed her fingers along the sharp edges of his chiseled jaw, delighting in the subtle prickle of his stubble. With his hair thoroughly disheveled and sleep framing his depthless onyx pools, his rumpled appearance made the poised ruler seem almost boyish. Though Margaret had learned that Azantians aged at a much slower pace compared to their human counterparts. Yet another problem they'd yet to address. Margaret wasn't sure if she would age the same as a mortal or as an Azantian, or if she would age at all with what lay inside of her. She moved to play with the silken strands at Bash's nape, giving them a gentle tug. His lids fluttered closed as he sighed contentedly.
I suppose I'm lucky then that you keep me humble,
he finally replied, moving back to idly stroke her through the thin material of her chemise. She cursed the damp silk. Judging by the look on his face, she suspected he felt the same way. Rising to the tips of her toes, Margaret kissed his full lips. They were delectably plush and tasted of pure sin. Bash snaked his arms around her waist before sliding a hand into her hair. He fisted the long strands and exposed her neck, his eyes burning as he leaned down to plant a reverent trail of kisses up and down the column of her throat. Margaret's heart skipped several beats as he returned to her mouth, taking his time exploring, worshipping, losing himself in her. Gently sucking her lower lip into his mouth, Bash's tongue teased as he tasted her, and another low groan reverberated deep in his throat. The noise was born from desire and adoration, and Margaret lost herself to the intoxicating sound. Minutes passed before Bash gradually pulled back, onyx eyes hungry. Their inky hue was a shade darker this morning, but perhaps the early light of day cast shadows upon them. Bash heaved a frustrated sigh.
I hate to leave so early, especially now that you're blushing for me.
He cupped her cheeks, and she leaned into his caress.
But I better get ready. The council is meeting this morning. Something about the mortal world.
Her world. Prius and her human home felt like a lifetime ago. A time when she'd been a perfect lady, about to marry the traitor, Count Caspian. What is the meeting about? Margaret's skin buzzed in warning, that familiar trepidation settling in her chest. Without a doubt, it had to do with the unleashed beasts. Maybe they'd finally made an appearance. Her spine tingled with swelling adrenaline. Bash clutched her arms.
You know I'll tell you everything. Gods know I've learned I can't hide anything from you anyway.
His eyes grew wide.
Not that I ever would, mind you,
he added in a rush. One corner of her mouth pulled up. Bash was smart enough to understand she would pester him until she got her answers. although their arguments often led to a much more enjoyable form of battle. You better tell me everything, pirate.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?